One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Going on out there, everybody, and thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And of course, as always, I can't do it alone. I have me amigo, Big Fizzy, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in studio, back from my trip to the beach.
Back in the saddle.
Back from the
again.
Gulf of Mexico, back from Galveston, Texas. We got out of there just as the hurricane or whatever they call them, tropical storm was rolling in. I had no idea it was even coming. I don't watch television, so I don't watch the news or the weather. So we went down on Monday, and we stayed there. We were supposed to stay there till Saturday, but we stayed till Friday, and we got out on Friday. The reason is Friday morning, I wake up. It's been beautiful all week, nice and sunny, not too hot, and it was overcast and looked like it was starting to rain a little, and I was like, My mom's like, yeah, it looks like it could storm today, and I was like, well, I don't know. Let's check the weather. Put on the weather channel. I'm like,
yeah,
Mom,
sure enough,
it's not going to rain. There's a hurricane hitting. So they started sending out letters and stuff, and people were boarding up their businesses, some of them. Everybody was told to fill your gas tanks with fuel. So I was like, dude, I ain't hanging around. So we packed up and we left a day early, and I'm glad we did. I think it hit further south, like more Corpus Christi area. I know South Padre got hit pretty hard by it. So, but I didn't want to take the chance. Although, if I didn't have my kids with me,
you would have.
We're like on the beach. Like the beach house that we rent every summer is like 55 yards from the ocean. So I don't want to experience a hurricane that close to the water.
Oh, come on.
But further inland, I think it would be pretty cool to see like 100 mile an hour sustained winds for a while.
See what it could do.
Yeah.
Wasn't it like the old Ron White joke? It's not that the wind is blowing, but it's what the wind is blowing.
Yeah. I mean, because where we're at, we get tornadoes, but they come and go pretty quick.
Yeah, they don't linger.
No. The hurricane is like a couple day thing.
Yeah, I don't think I'm all about no hurricane. I don't think I need any of that in my life, man.
I want to be inland and high enough elevation so that the ocean,
doesn't fly in one of those satellite like hurricane planes where they fly into the eye of it. Would you do that?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
I'm torn. I'm torn by that, like, because I think it would be awesome to fly through all that storm and then pop out in the middle where you can look and see and like see how beautiful
it is.
Yeah,
that would be pretty cool. But the risk, those hurricanes are always over the ocean. Yeah, and if your plane goes down in the ocean,
here's what's crazy. You never hear about the crashes of those planes that do that.
You think maybe they're flying above it? So
and
it's
I don't
not
know.
Affected? I don't
maybe.
Know.
Maybe. Well, of course, this is all going off my idiot mind watching movies. It looks like they fly like we're going in and they just tear ass right into the middle of it.
I don't think that's the way it really works, though.
You think they fly like up and over like it's a wall?
I would
and then
imagine.
They drop down and then they go back out?
I would think so, because I've been like just normal thunderstorms in an airplane and it's pretty turbulent.
Yeah. Well, also, too, I mean, this is more like a military base. It's not like an individual's doing it. It's not like a guy self-taught paramotor flying.
That's true. That's true. Or somebody for Spirit Airlines is flying.
Yeah.
Listen, folks, we fly a lot. I will not fly on Spirit Airlines. I don't want a guy that got like a C- in pilot school. I want the big dogs. I know I have to pay a little more for my ticket, but I'm not, when you want to skimp on prices, I get it for like milk or eggs or diapers. Somebody's got a better deal. You don't really want to skimp out on somebody you're entrusting your life to at 30,000 feet.
You don't think so? You don't want to cut corners?
No. As you're going down in flames, you're like, I wish I would have shelled that 150 more. It's not worth it to me. Yeah. I want the guy flying the plane that looks like he's 70 years old, fighter pilot from Nam. This guy's been doing it a long time, right? Well, this is a cakewalk for him.
That's what you're looking for.
That's what I'm looking for. He used to land at nighttime on a carrier.
Yeah. And he's flying now, and he's still smoking cigars in the cockpit. Like, he don't even care about the rules.
What was the guy that landed in the Hudson? Was that Captain Sullivan or whatever it was?
Yeah, sure.
That's the kind of guy I want.
That's what you're looking for.
I want Ole. I have a friend that's a pilot. Ole.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Ole Olson, that guy. Yes. But he's like that. I think he's close to 70. He's a heck of a skier. And a damn good pilot. Damn good pilot.
Right.
Knows what he's doing. He flies for Delta.
That is something that you don't want to skimp on.
No, there's a few things in life. Look, I understand.
Like, you brought up diapers, tires, maybe.
Everybody's got to save some money.
Soap, things along those lines. You don't skimp on stuff that saves. Like we talked about, you never buy cheap life jackets, cheap helmets. You don't buy stuff.
Well, if I'm going to get surgery done, I really don't want somebody that got their degree in the Cayman Islands. I'm not looking for a doctor's degree from there. Are you?
No.
I want a guy that was like top of his class.
That's not what you got when he was in the hospital, though.
No. No, they were pretty good. I'm joking. They treated me pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I got it. Before we keep rolling, I have a headline here that I have to share. I thought I had done my due diligence on finding back in the day, really digging around and finding some really wild reptilian stories for y'all. You know, I've brought them up where they were like in the desert, people riding mountain bikes have seen them. We've had some crazy slee stack moments here on this show. And I thought, that's it, right? Well, of course, our homie, Lon, strictly at Phantoms and Monsters, he's had them. I guess he hides them. I don't know where he keeps these things, but I guess he keeps them tucked away. He pulled this out, and he said it's in one of his old databases, so he's not 100% sure where it was at, but he believes it was possibly reported to MUFON back in the day. But when I saw the headline, I'm like, I've got to tell everybody about this, because the headline alone, you know, is what grabs me. This is what it says. Reptilian hunting party observed in Montrose County, Colorado. Now,
that is, just let that sink in.
Just let that marinate for a second when I tell you this. When I first read it, I'm like, people are hunting reptilians, or are they reptilians in a hunting group?
That's what I'm imagining.
That's what I want it to be. Here you go. You're going to like this. This was a young boy that witnessed this. Goes on to say that I was just a boy when I had my encounter. My family and I were living in a small town on the west end of Montrose County called Irvine, Colorado. And in early morning June of 1969, I was awakened by the barking of the family dog named Tippy outside my bedroom window. And I think it's probably supposed to be Tippy, but you know, y'all know how I get with these words. So I'll go back with Tippy. So we'll say Tippy never really barked unless someone or something was in the yard that wasn't supposed to be. I remember waking up out of a dead sleep and hearing Tippy constantly barking and wondering why my older brother, whose sleeping bunk was above me, and my parents sleeping in the bedroom joining ours, weren't getting up to tell Tippy to be quiet. So finally, I'd had enough and decided to turn over in my bed and look out the window. And when I did, I couldn't believe what I saw. There it was, a small circular ship with its landing gear down and a hatch with stairs folded down to the ground. Now, next to the ship were green lizard-looking beings. Their eyes were bright yellow, and there were some tanks on their backs along with another bag. They didn't have fingers, but webbed hands with what looked like a bow and arrow type weapon that they were holding.
Sweet.
They were hoitsitoris. Their bodies were thin and scaly, even their legs, and their feet had V-shaped toes and looked incredibly tall and strong. I remember thinking to myself that this was some kind of hunting party, because my dad was a bow hunter himself, and that kind of gave me the idea. I could tell that they were searching for something, and then all of a sudden, another being came out of the ship. He was much bigger than the others and seemed to give out the orders. Now Tippy began her barking, and being closest to our house, the being itself noticed it and seemed to become upset with her barking. I could see it looking over at Tippy, and finally it started walking over to her. I then jumped out of my bed and headed into my parents' room to wake my mother up. Why would we always wake up our mother? Like, you would think if you're going to fight reptilians, wake up dad, right? But now we're going to get mom. And I remember how hard it was to wake her, and she acted like she was on heavy drugs or something. I couldn't get her to wake up. Maybe mom had some edibles. Leave her alone. Finally,
too many cocktails.
Right? Was able to get her up and told her something was going on outside and it's going to hurt Tippy. and she still didn't wake up all the way and was very sluggish. So my mother followed me to the bedroom, and once there I showed her what I was seeing outside. I don't know what they did to my mom, but she couldn't see them at all. She couldn't even see the ship. All she wanted to do was go back to her bed and go to sleep. Finally, my mother got up from my bed and told me to crawl to the other side of my bed away from the window. So I did what I was told. And the last thing I remember was before falling asleep was looking over in my closet where the window casts light on my clothes, and I saw a dark figure trying to look in the window. Now, no other sound came from Tippy. My mother wasn't drinking or taking anything that would cause sedation, that you know of. I firmly believe that they did something to make my family sleep. It just didn't work on me for some reason. Now, in the morning, the first thing I did was run out to check on Tippy and my PJs and all, and sure enough, she was lying in my front yard waiting for kids to come play with her, and she acted like nothing had happened the night before.
So do you think the person had a really vivid dream and none of it really happened, or it did? Look, what you need is some of that red powder. You remember the television series V?
Yeah.
Our buddy Logan was in the relaunch of that. Remember they'd throw that red paprika in their face and they just couldn't handle it. It would kill them. And normally I wouldn't believe that this story is even true, except what no one's talking about is the government said aliens are real.
That's right.
Don't you think that should be something that's a little bit more in the news than COVID?
Dude,
To me, that's...
Yes.
I mean... They basically have said, oh, yeah, UFOs exist. That's real, even though I've always believed that.
Well, it's a confirmation that, like, I was on AJ's podcast on Soul Wanderings, and what I brought up was exactly what you brought up, and you and I have discussed, is all you're doing, nobody really, they want the government to confirm it, but nobody really cares if they do or they don't. Those that believe, believe.
Yeah.
But you would think that now that it's been confirmed that it would be the hottest topic on the planet. It's not. Which almost makes it seem like there was an agenda behind releasing it at this point.
I'd like to believe that there was, but what I truly think is that the people in government are incompetent.
And I think they made a mistake and just missed the window.
But, I mean, seriously, we should be taking this a heck of a lot more serious. I mean, we're acknowledging that we're not alone in the universe.
Yeah.
They're here. Yeah. Like, I wish they would come forward and tell us what they know. Like, here's what, look, we're going to come clean. This is all we know. We found 9 of these things. Bob Lazar was not lying. Some of these are ancient.
Like Roswell. Have a press conference. Let's just have a big open, you do it online, live stream press conference. But even then, we've been lied to so many times by them that nobody's going to believe it.
Here's what we know.
Double-edged sword.
They can travel really fast. They can't. They dislike paprika. So
they taste like chicken.
Keep that on you if you're scared of them, like warding off vampires with garlic.
You got to get that bug assault shotgun that shoots salt, but you fill it with paprika.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can just fight them off with that paprika guns.
Yeah.
Paintballs full of paprika. That's how you defend it. I do like what you brought about, though, as a very vivid dream. But I don't know that you could have a dream so vivid where you heard the dog bark and then you witnessed all this. But what I do like is how the person points out that they were little, a child, when this happened. And the older parents and the older generation couldn't see it.
Right, that's why
it always makes you wonder. Like, I think you're more in tune at a younger age.
It's possible.
I think so.
Check this out. This comes from our listener, all the way from Hungary. It says, "Hello, gentlemen. I regularly listen to Expanded Perspectives on YouTube. I really like you two talking about the paranormal and fooling around. My name is Lepidus. I'm from Hungary. I'm 36. I decided to share a kind of sleeping paralysis experience I had about 20 years ago. It was a quiet summer night in our family house near the woods. I was sound asleep in my room, in my single bed. Suddenly, I woke up frightened. I was sweating, and I was absolutely terrified. You know, just like when you wake up from a really, really bad dream. However, I was unable to move, except for rotating my eyes in their sockets. As some light from the street lamp in front of our house made its way through the window blinds, I could see the chair next to my bed, especially with eyes adjusted to the darkness. Now, on one of its legs, I noticed, still frightened, a darker than dark, blacker than black sort of smoke spiraling up to the seat from the floor. It was the darkest black I have ever seen, and was like it was made out of a black hole, as if no light could escape it. Its spiraling movement did not seem random. as with normal smoke. It was climbing up the seat's leg like a snake, kind of grabbing around it very slow, deliberate movements. Needless to say, I was losing my mind out of terror. When it reached the seat and started to bridge itself onto my bed next to my shins, it was unbelievable, but this entity was there. I could feel it. I could see it. I felt the coldness it was evaporating when it got closer to my legs. It wasn't touching my blanket yet, but even through it, this thing felt like fresh snow being rubbed on my skin. In my mind, unable to move at all, I still couldn't believe what was happening. I was like, am I having a nightmare? Then suddenly, some life-saving information popped into my head. I remembered this whole thing called sleep paralysis, and that beside you being unable to move, you may have hallucinations as well in this state. With these thoughts, I was able to calm myself and drifted back to sleep pretty quickly. I only remembered what happened the next morning while having breakfast, and remembered how this faceless black hole smoke serpent looked like to this day. The images are burned into my brain forever. I hope you're good and wish you all the best, Lepidus. That's pretty cool.
That is a great story.
Great story. I like the description.
That's the name of my new band.
Smoke Serpent. Isn't that Eddie Bravo's band?
No, Black Hole Face Smoke Serpent.
Oh, but isn't Smoke Serpent like Eddie Bravo's band?
Yeah, one of them, yep.
Yeah, very good story. Thank you, Lepidus. And it's nice to know that we have fans all the way in Hungary.
Heck yeah. Dude, that's so wild, though. I mean, to see what's funny is like we've gotten several within this year alone about, I'd say at least three or four more about like black smoke stuff and like dark cloud. Like it's an entity, but it doesn't have a form or a shape, but it's just like they talk like blacker than black. Like total absence.
Yeah. What's the color? That Venta black or whatever?
Yeah. Something like that. Dude, it's, yeah. Something that's just not awesome any way you look at it. Not a fan of any of that.
No.
Speaking of creepy and crazy, folks, we're going to jump to the other side, take a quick break. We're going to bounce back, and I'm going to be discussing some creepy, like ghostly things that have happened involving healthcare workers. Some of it, majority of it's going to be in nursing homes. So I hope you are buckled in. Ready for some disturbing stories. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
All right, here we go. Back to the show. We're going to have creepy time. Now is creepy time. Philip, we got a story sent to us. I talked about it the other night, and I don't remember exactly where, like when we received it. It was this year that we had received it. And it was a younger woman that was talking about being in a nursing home. She was on shift work, night shift. And she had talked about an elderly woman that was there at the end of the hallway. And it's always at the end of the hallway, you know, the way it is. It's never right beside the nurse's station. It's always at the end of the hallway. And she had told the story about doing her rounds late one night slash early one morning, about 2 or 2:30. And during this time, she had heard a man's voice talking very low. And she thought she had heard the woman's, you know, the door that it was coming out of. And she was like, first of all, you know, I can't let that happen. You know, mm-hmm. y'all know exactly what I'm talking about that goes on. So we're like, okay, we got to go break this up. So she slips in there and hears the voice and she eases the door open and there's nobody in there but the woman that lives in the room, right? And so she's like, well, this is strange. So she looks around and she's like, maybe I'm just hearing things, you know, no telling what it could have been, right?
Right.
The woman's sleeping soundly. She comes back out, does a little bit more. She starts hearing it again. She slips up to the door again after it's closed and she's listening. And she said, I can hear a man's voice very low and it is speaking in Latin. So it's a low, deep, nothing like a creepy, nothing, you know, no rough, raspy, creepy voice, but like a low, monotoned Latin voice. And she said, you know, I don't know what it is. I just know it's Latin that I'm hearing. And she said, so this time she's like, I know it's this room. I know it's coming out. Boom. I open it up. I come in there. This is again around between 2 and 3. Come in. Nothing. Just the woman in there sleeping. So this only happens for like 2 or 3 days. I believe it was 3 days that she said she would hear this. She only heard it one time is what it was. She only heard it the one night. But when she talked to the lady the next day, she broke it into conversation of, did you sleep all right last night? And she said, yeah, I slept great, except for the old priest. And she goes, what do you mean the old priest? And she goes, well, I woke up last night and there was an old priest with like an old hat and all this stuff standing over in the corner praying over me.
Hmm.
And the woman said, the older woman that it had happened to, ended up telling the lady that it had happened 3 times, that it had happened in a row. So the first night when the nurse heard the voice and heard the Latin and went in there and looked around, there was nobody. And the next 2 nights, it continued to happen. She didn't hear it, but the woman told her every day the priest was back praying. Now, she didn't hear it, you know, the last 2 times, but the old woman reported it. And then finally, it was gone. So nothing had ever happened. The old woman, as far as I know, that lives in that room is still fine, still just living there.
She didn't pass away or anything, so was it?
No, nothing was that. Nobody had anything. That was what made it even more strange, is there was no ominous thing happening. It's not like there was, you know, like we've talked about, there was no deaths. There was nothing, you know, evil. There was no, oh, it was just the fact that there was a Latin speaking spirit priest in the corner of this old woman's room. And so I have no idea how to even equate that except for one thing. What if that was some sort of her guardian angel and there was bad things coming for that woman and his job, he stepped up and made himself a little, it's kind of like when you're trying to add hot water to cold water, like you're mixing your shower and you may run past it. Maybe he put a little too much emphasis in it and the people on this plane could hear him.
Yeah, that's possible.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't know.
Normally when you hear stories like that, it's like a precursor to them passing
yes.
away.
Yes. Oh,
right?
Yes.
So
yes.
It is kind of odd that she didn't pass away.
Well, yeah. And that's what I expected. As you're reading it, you kind of start going, like anything else, you read enough stories along the same, you're like, okay, this is going to be something bad. And when she's like, but nothing happened. It went for 3 days and was gone. And nothing, like the woman wasn't sick. Like nothing happened. And it makes it even stranger to me for something along those lines. So we get a bunch. So I start digging in and I start looking at messages we got sent. I'm finding stories written. I'm getting all this stuff. So here's one that we got. It says, I work the night shift alone at one of the oldest nursing home facilities in our town while I was going to college. It says, I've got some crazy stories, but one that really seemed to change me was that I was going into the linen room to pick up some extra linen to change some beds out. And the person says, while I was in there, of course, when we run, my nose gets tickled, my allergies are up, and I sneeze, a loud sneeze. Now, it goes on to say, I'm in the room alone. So, you know, and you know how you and I laugh about when we sneeze, we make it over dramatic. So I'm expecting, you know, my nieces, I have a few nieces that when they sneeze, they're just like, please, and that's it. And and then that's it. Unless they don't know you're looking. And then they sneeze like real people, right? Like, and you let it fire. So that's what I'm thinking is this woman or man or whoever this nurse was like, and let it fire while they're in the linen room. And they go on to say, as clear as you were hearing my voice, behind me, I heard, bless you.
Ooh, that's creepy.
Yeah. And instantly they said, all I did was drop the linen that I was picking up and started praying. Instantly. Didn't turn around. Didn't do anything. Just started praying. Nothing. And said, finally, after the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, turns around. Nothing in the corner. There's nothing in the room. But goes on to say that I heard bless you 100% clear right behind me like a person was in the room. And said it got so bad from that one experience that if I would sneeze, I would say the Lord's Prayer in my mind.
Wow.
So that was definite effect.
I mean, don't be scared. It wasn't like maybe it was just it's a kind spirit.
Yeah. Hey, bless you.
Yeah.
Just hanging out. But still, knowing there was nobody in there.
Unless that happened in the South, just because people, random strangers will say that when you sneeze in the South.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody will tell you all around here. Bless you. You don't even know. Like, you could sneeze in public somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And across the grocery store, you'll hear like, bless you. Yeah, that happens on the red.
Yeah, if I sneeze in public and nobody says nothing, I look around like, really? Like, really, y'all?
Y'all don't care about me?
Nothing?
Especially, but I don't sneeze in public now because that'll get you in trouble.
The COVID.
Yeah, the COVID.
The Rona. Yeah, the Rona. People have definitely changed. I remember we were in a grocery store down in Galveston buying something for dinner that night, you know, vegetables and stuff. And there was one guy that was hacking up a lung, and like the people were starting to get away from him. Everybody had their mask on, but they're just like, goodness.
He's changing.
Yeah. It was as if he was transforming into a wolf or something. People were backing away. And I'm like, look, the guy's probably just got emphysema.
Yes.
Because he looked pretty old.
Now, here's another one from a nursing website that a nurse submitted that goes on, and she didn't submit her name, and it just goes on to say that I was working in the ward on a night duty for quite some time, and one night I had to write down each patient's name. And when I spotted a patient that I had not seen for a couple of weeks, I felt weird when I was about to think that he had been transferred out, you know, to our surgical hospital. It goes on to say, so this nurse sees a patient like, oh, all right. It says the fellow looked me in the eyes and smiled as I gave him a gesture as if everything was fine. And it was a relief seeing him in his best look than anything I remember. Said he looked great. And it says, however, when I go back and I'm putting in my notes, I couldn't find his name on our patient census. So I looked him up and was shocked to see that he had died 2 days earlier. Said it was like he must have come back to just say that he was okay and goodbye.
Yeah, that's quite common where people, when it comes to sightings of ghosts, you talked about it before, it's very common that it happens right after someone passes away.
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, and listen, while we're talking about nurses, I mean, God bless them. I mean, thank you so much, especially during this time of COVID and stuff. Like, it's incredible that so many of them are willing to go and put themselves and their families at risk.
I don't have that gene.
I could never be an EMT or anything like that or a nurse. No.
Because I don't care.
No, it's not that.
That's the problem for me is I'm not caring enough. Like, I want to be, but I don't have. This is a hard thing for me to tell everybody listening this long ago. For this long, it's hard for me to have empathy. It's a very hard thing for me. And it's not that I choose to do it. It was how I was raised.
It's because you're a psychopath.
Yeah, that's true. It was how I was raised is I wasn't raised with a lot of empathy. So I don't really. That's a hard thing to say.
Because you're a horrible kid.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, I wouldn't. I don't think I could do the job just because I couldn't stand like all the blood and guts. And
that's another two.
Things like that. Like, that's just not very. You know, when I was young, man, I'd watch Faces of Death and stuff. Now as I've gotten older, I don't want to see that stuff.
Well, like you like the stuff Monty tags us in?
Yeah, like, you know, skateboarding guys breaking their ankles.
I don't
want
to see that.
I can't.
Fish hooks in people's eyes.
Yeah, and then especially like if a child came in.
There's no way.
Arm tore off.
There's
or something,
no way.
You know, like I can't do it.
No, I'm not that strong.
My brother does it. My brother's a firefighter.
Yeah,
yeah. And he goes to more like car accidents.
Yeah,
than he
but
does fires.
He's been a psychopath his whole life.
You must have that gene.
Yeah, something's. Yeah, I could probably go to war. I'd probably be better off in war than I would be in a hospital.
I'd be better off like cataloging books in a library or something real nerdy.
Making dinner. Like, I'd be better off cooking.
I'd be better off being like a dungeon master for a game.
There you go. You know what? I'd be better off podcasting.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd be kind of a nerd, right? Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to be a photographer.
Yeah, I'm scared. Yeah, stuff like that. So there's a dozens and dozens, and I want to share with y'all some more of these that I found. Again, from this nursing website, I was surprised at the number of nurses that come forward with this. And I've got a couple of family members that are nurses and real good friends that are nurses. And they all have strange stories. Every nurse that I've ever met has at least one story that they were either involved in directly or were on the shift the night it was going down of some real weird things.
I was gonna say, when you say story, you're talking about something paranormal, supernatural.
Oh, yes. Right? Yes. Something unexplainable. Let's just put it that way. Something completely unexplainable. Listen to this one. This one says, doing my rounds as a new RN in a unit, I saw an old lady dressed in a hospital gown. Thinking that the patient was lost or just couldn't sleep, I signaled her from afar, because we were on opposite ends of the hallway, to ask her what was wrong. And finally, getting her attention, she turned to face me. And we made eye contact, and she smiled a beautiful smile, and then turned back and passed through the wall into the patient's room. And I froze in my tracks, chilled to the bone at what I had seen. I didn't know what to do. Had no idea what I could even think about. It goes on to say that I found out later that the woman had died 3 days earlier from a car accident, and that in that room that she entered was her husband, who was still hospitalized from the same car accident. And they said, and that doesn't surprise me at the least.
No, makes sense.
Makes complete sense.
The ghost is checking up on a loved one.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Either to tell him that, look, everything's okay. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry about me. Or coming over to say, look, you'll be joining me pretty soon.
Yeah. Or like, hey, I got things ready. We're ready whenever you're ready. So just bounce.
Right? It reminds me of the joke. There's two old men. They're lifelong friends, kind of like me and you are. And
here we go.
And they're big fans of baseball.
Again,
and
here we go.
One of them's looking at one of them. He's like, hey, you think there's baseball in heaven? And the other guy's like, oh, no, I don't know. Well, they don't think about it. About a month later, one of them dies. He's dead. So right shortly after the guy's death, the guy comes back, his ghost does, and visits his buddy. And he's like, hey, I just wanted to let you know everything's okay. I'm fine. And I've got good news and bad news. Which one you want? And the guy's like, well, I guess give me the good news. He goes, well, the good news is there's baseball in heaven.
Yes.
And he's like, well, what's the bad news? Bad news is you're pitching on next Thursday. That's a joke I heard from Pete Rose. But it kind of reminds me of that.
That's 100% it.
People are close, you know.
Just heads up.
They come back and visit.
And I've even told the story about the visit my grandfather had told me that my grandmother made to him.
My mother tells me that shortly after her mother passed, she saw the ghost of her at our house walk down the hallway towards me and my brother's bedroom. Now, I never saw anything.
Yeah. Yeah, my grandpa, like he said, my grandmother came to him, told him everything was okay, that she had everything taken care of, and that when he was ready, that they were ready. So, and then, of course, like he lived another 8 years before he was ready. Cantankerous old sucker.
Do you think your pets go there, too? Like, are you going to have ponies and goldfish and everything else that you ever owned up there? How does that work?
Dude, you're digging way too deep now. I don't know. I have no idea.
Do you really think the streets are made of gold? Because really, gold's not the most valuable metal. Like, should it be like made in platinum or something?
Here we go.
Right?
They didn't know platinum.
Coltan, element 115. I mean, it just seems like the story just is, I don't know.
How do we know we don't wake up from this someplace else and we've only been under for like 5 minutes?
Right? Yeah. Do you really get wings?
Yeah. I hope so, because I want to fly bad. I've already told you about my look, folks, y'all better really enjoy the podcast for the next couple of years, because I might be dead in about three, because I'm looking at getting me a paramotor so I can do some
flying. Explain to people what that even is, first of all.
It's an airplane prop with like a go-kart motor that straps to your back, and then you got a wing part of a parachute, and then you take off running, and it all blows up in the air, and you fly off with it. Sounds safe, right?
Yeah. Then you called me to tell me you joined a Facebook group, and it's a bunch of DIY guys, and you're contemplating whether or not you should actually take courses.
No. I told you I was taking courses. I joined the group to see that there are people that don't believe in taking courses in learning how to fly.
Yeah, that's probably something you might want to take a lesson or two in. You know what I mean?
What do they always tell you? It's the flying's the hard part. The crashing's the easiest part. That's the easiest thing to do. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So here's another one that goes on to say that I used to work in a nursing home as an aide and thought of my coworker who had a strange experience. So I thought I would share it, that one night she was trying to check on a patient who is a nun. Says, according to her, a group of nuns came in the room but never bothered to talk to her except for one whom she had eye contact with. However, no one else on the floor had seen the nuns come or go. And rumor has it that the hospital was built exactly where an old convent building was based before being burned down by a fire in the late 1800s. Yeah.
I wonder if any of the nuns had like the curled hat. Like Sally Field had on the flying nun.
Here we go. I don't know what's got into him, folks.
I'm just saying. I wonder what kind of hat she had. Everybody in the...
Did you ever watch the horror movie The Nun or something like that?
No, I never have.
They're not scary to me.
My wife and Luke, they watch everything. I know what you're talking about. I have not seen it.
I'm not afraid. Look.
Why does everybody in the Catholic Church system have like a different hat? Everybody.
Well, was it? George Carlin. That's what he said. That's somebody. How you can tell the rank of how you are in the Catholic Church by the size of your hat?
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a very, very good point. Yeah. All right. Now, I've got y'all one here, folks, from Beverly. And Beverly talks about this, says these are some stories. Says it has to do with her working on the night shift or with me working on the night shift, it says, at a nursing home. And here's a few stories. It says there are three floors in the assisted living area of the nursing home or personal care where all the patients needed full care, being helped with bathing and dressing. And then there was an assisted living area where only a few residents would need help. Now, it goes on to say that I'm going to share the first story, which is when I was working in the PC, the personal care unit. I was folding the clothes to put them away when I heard a distinct call for help. It sounded exactly like one of my patients that needed full care. I heard her screaming, "Help!" So I walked down to her room and she was fast asleep, just snoring. So, of course, I brushed it off. A few minutes later, I'm folding clothes again, and I heard the same exact scream for help. I went to investigate, but once again, the resident was sleeping. And once again, I brushed it off as if I was just hearing things. So I go back and started folding clothes, and I heard it as if it were right next to my ear. I ran out of there and would not go back unless I had a coworker with me. And I still, to this day, do not know why she was calling for help, but she was asleep during this time. And a few weeks later, she was admitted into long-term living due to falling out of a wheelchair, screaming for help for a half an hour before someone heard her. So I guess she was screaming for help in her sleep. And then when they showed up, it just looked like she was asleep. But what's weird is the woman stated that she heard it right beside her.
Yeah.
So it's like maybe she was a astral projection.
Yeah, you know, maybe. Or maybe
going that way.
The acoustics of the room.
Yeah.
You know?
Says, I've also seen shadows walking the halls in that unit as well and hear walkers going up and down the halls. And another story I have in the same unit was of an older gentleman always talking to himself in the room, stating that he was talking to an old friend, but there'd be nobody in there. And he would have conversations with himself about the old milling factory he worked at in his younger days. And one night he woke up in a panic, saying that there was a man in his room that kept waking him up. And I told him, sir, there's nobody in here and that he needed to go on back to bed. But he was in a panic and would not return to his bedroom. So a coworker and I went to see what was going on. And when we entered the rooms, the light started to flicker. I then started to believe him and had to wake up his wife on a different floor to come calm him back down to go to bed. So they're in there and they're noticing some sort of interference in the room. Again, maybe it's that old creepy priest that I talked about. And then it goes on to say that this story happens on first floor. It is a part of assisted living. There was a gentleman who passed away a few weeks before I started to work there. And he would go out every night between 12:30 and 1 a.m. for a cigarette. He would use the elevator to go down to the smoking area right outside of lower level. And now a little backstory to the elevator. It dings every time you press a button. Like when you're opening a door or when the door opens, it makes the dinging sound. Every time. Well, after he'd passed, we used to see his call bell go off and light up almost nightly. That stopped after another resident was living in the room. But every single night between 12:30 and 1 a.m., we would see the elevator door open and close without making a sound. It would just open and close. Exactly 15 minutes later, it would come back up to the first floor and open and shut again without making a single sound. And we would all just tell Larry to enjoy his smoke, and when he returned, we would welcome him back. Now, I no longer work there, but friends of mine that do work there still Tell me about Larry going for his nightly smoke and the shadows that roam the hallways and the flickering lights. And I know this is a long story, and I appreciate you taking the time to read it.
Huh.
So, again, three little accounts there. So, yeah, so Larry's back at it out there smoking left-handed cigarettes or whatnot, wading around out there. So, again, how would you explain the fact that if, let's just say, for argument's sake, that all that's on the up and up, and that there's nothing being made up, and they know for a fact that it dings. It dings every time you're going in and out, right? Every time. Except the time between 12:30 and 1:30 or whatever, it doesn't ding?
Yeah, that's odd.
Like, how does that? There's no way. It either works or it doesn't work. Something that way. Like, why, you're not going to program it to be silent, you know, at this point in time. I'm sure there are now, but I'm like, could you even program something along those lines? So here is another odd one here that goes on to say, this one comes from South Carolina. It says that I used to work third shift at a small 44-bed nursing home. We were supposed to be an assisted living facility for people who were cognizant yet unable to live on their own, and a rehabilitation center for those recovering from surgery or stroke. In reality, we were mainly taking care of elderly residents with Alzheimer's and dementia. Needless to say, people passed away there. And my duties were fairly simple. You come in, see to any residents who weren't already in bed, check the ones who were in bed, and then make the rounds every 2 hours to make sure everyone was clean and still breathing. It's almost been 7 years since I worked there, so I don't remember the order in which these events happened. So I'm just going to list them by order of severity. Every so often, I would come into work super tired from staying up too late. So after each of my rounds, I would set my phone alarm for an hour and a half, and I would take a nap in one of the recliners. Next thing I knew, there was a loud whap sound, like someone dropping a heavy hardback book on the floor, but right next to my ear, causing me to jump up awake. I would look around and I would see no one was there before rushing down the hall to check and see if my residents were all right, which they were. And after that, I'd start my round. And this happened at least 2 times that I remember and always woke me up 1 or 2 minutes before my alarm was supposed to go off. Now, I'm going to go ahead and stop right there and say that's interesting, but that is a phenomenon.
Right.
A loud sound that you can hear that will wake you up while you're asleep.
Yes.
So that's that could have easily been explained as that. But, you know, you remind you, they're going on severity. So that was the intro. It says the second wasn't really an event per se. It was just something that one of the residents said to me that kind of creeped me out. One night when I put sweet old lady named Miss Lindsay, I put her to bed and she looked at me with a smile and said, "You have the most beautiful angel watching over you. It's just standing right behind you." Miss Lindsay did have dementia, but she wasn't cognizant enough to recognize people and sometimes circumstances that happened around her. So hearing her say something like that was more than a little creepy. And lastly is one that still gives me chills and makes me a little paranoid thinking about this even today. Most of the rooms were just rectangles with one bed on each end, a wardrobe at the foot of each bed for residents' clothing, and a small end table beside the bed for smaller effects, and our gloves and wipes. There are windows on the wall opposite the door from the hall. I was in the middle of one of my rounds when I entered one of the rooms to check on the residents, and as I was, of course, digging through the end table looking for gloves, I started to feel the muscles in my neck, shoulders, and back start to tense up. It felt like a weight had just settled across my shoulders. What's more, it felt like there was something huge directly behind me. And by huge, I mean at least 8 foot because I'm 6 foot. And whatever this was felt like it was standing over me looking down. I couldn't move. I couldn't hardly blink. All I could do was stare straight ahead at the windows. The only thing I could think was, "Oh crap, oh crap, oh crap." Then, as suddenly as it had started, it was gone and I could move again. Then I turned, this is what I said, when I turned around, all that was behind me was a Jerry chair and wheelchair. I don't know how long the feeling lasted, and I didn't think to check the time, but it felt like an hour, and it couldn't have been more than a few minutes. Now, I don't remember if there were any sounds or anything like that, just a huge, imposing pressure right behind me. And as for my policy on determining what I was thinking about beforehand, I was essentially on autopilot. My body was working while my brain was basically just shut off, so I wasn't thinking about anything. And when this happened, it snapped me fully alert and aware. And this is the reason I never keep my back to an opening for any longer than I have to, is I don't like the idea of something like that coming up behind me. Says the funny thing is that the room I was in at the time was Miss Lindsay's. For some reason, I didn't realize that until a few months ago. And though I'm pretty sure it doesn't correlate with what she said, nothing about that encounter seemed angelic to me.
Ooh.
So it makes you wonder, was there an angel there, or was it really a demon and Miss Lindsay just being a little out of it, you know, didn't really know where to go with it.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree.
Now, here's one that comes from Darius, and it says from Maryland, and it says this happened about 7 or 8 years ago. I can't really recall the exact time, but it's been a very long time. I was working on this nursing home back when I still lived in Baltimore. I was a new nurse back then, and I was stationed at this skilled unit that they called the vent unit. Now, the patients or residents that stay here looked like they were in critical condition with ventilators attached to their trachea and these peg tubes attached to their feeding pumps, but they were actually on or in stable condition enough for them to be placed in our unit. Our unit is like a crossroad. I don't know how to describe it well, but goes on here, but I'll try. The nurse's station is in the middle, and it's shaped like circular, as you can see the north, south, east, and west hallways leading to other units. The north hallway was a dead end that leads to a wall at the far end and nowhere else to go. And then the side of the hallway always creeps me out, especially during the night shift where I work. And one night, it was past midnight already, and the lights were dimmed, but the north hallway was particularly darker than the rest, probably just because it's a dead end. I was doing my cart checks when out of the corner of my eye, I saw a very tall shadow that just glided towards a residence room. I was facing the east wing at that time because I didn't want to be facing on the dark hallway, and still, that didn't spare me from witnessing something unusual. Now, I shrugged it off as my imagination, but I can really feel something different that time. So anyway, since it's my duty to do rounds and to make sure my patients are okay, I went to the north hallway and I checked on my patients. And nope, I didn't see anything unusual or any tall shadows. So I went to do what my duties needed to do that evening. Fast forward to the next day, as I come in for my shift that night and I was getting the report, I was surprised that the endorsing nurse told me that the patient in room such and so, goes on to say the room, passed away that morning. I immediately recalled the tall, shadowy figure that I saw out of the corner of my eye that went through that side of the hallway rooms at the far end. I wasn't particularly sure, which room, but I knew it was near the resident that passed away. So again, I just passed it off as coincidence. A few months after this, something happened that scared the crap out of me while I was working there. As I was passing meds past midnight for some scheduled meds on my patients, I was again on the north hallway, and it was pretty dim and everything is quiet except for some occasional dings and alarms and some vents, but nothing unusual. As I entered this particular room, it was pretty dark since the lights are all off in the room, and there are dim lights on the hallway behind me. Now, the rooms have these wide windows, and usually they are covered at night by curtains or blinds, but this particular room was wide open. Now, I can't see what's outside since it's pitch black outside, but the window served as a mirror, since I can see my reflection and the reflection of the hallway behind me when I entered the room. This gives me creeps until today, and I remember when I entered the room, I felt like there was something behind me. And you know that feeling, like when you're being watched and you feel the hair on the back of your neck standing up and the prickly sensation all over your body as your heart starts to race and pound faster. That's what I felt, and what made it worse was when I was trying to search for the room's light switch, I roamed with my eyes all over while feeling with my hand on the wall for the switch, and my eyes landed on the reflection in the window. And that's where I saw a tall, shadowy figure standing just behind me. My heart literally skipped a beat, and as soon as I felt the switch, I turned it on and the figure was gone from the reflection on the window. I was so freaked out that I never said a word on that shift, and I just did my work to occupy my mind. Even my coworker asked if I was okay, but I just showed them that I was even inside my mind, just shrugged it off. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Even though really and truly I wasn't. The next day, as I come back to work, I heard the terrible news that the patient died that morning where I saw the shadowy figure. I don't know for sure if they were grim, if there are or were grim reapers, but it's one of my unforgettable moments that I'll remember working in that place.
Mm.
So again, could it have been a grim reaper?
Yeah.
You're seeing a tall, shadowy figure. It only makes sense, does it not?
Yeah. Yeah. What was it back in the day they used to put coins on people's eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Because that was to pay
the boatman.
The boatman to get you across the River Styx.
Yeah.
Right?
But like that, I would think, you know, like we were talking about, like we discussed, you know, neither one of us have the stomach for it. I don't have the empathy for it. I think people that work in it long enough get tuned into that level. You get used to death. Death becomes a thing. That it's just, I mean, none of us are used to it. We all are going to experience it. None of us are used to it. But those people that work with it all the time, you know, first responders that deal with that, it gets to be commonplace. Not that you ever get over it or used to it, but it gets to be a part of the job. And I wonder if when that happens to you, if that can tune you in to a certain level, and that's why they see these things. They're there, whereas the patient's children or the patient's family may not see it, even if they were up there at night sitting all night. Like, you don't hear a lot of stories about, well, I was, you know, I'm sitting in the hotel or the hospital room with my mom and she's on a vent and she's passing away from whatever. And she's, you know, an older woman, she's in her 90s, you know, and she's passing away. And I saw this shadowy figure come into her room and it was tall and all this. And then it vanished and she passed away.
Mm.
You don't hear those stories.
No.
And I don't know if it's because of the grief or are you too close to the subject, whatever it is. But you hear stories like this with these shadow beings in hospitals, in nursing homes, in a lot of these places where there's a lot of death or a lot of people trying to help people get over it. It's almost like the Grim Reaper. I like to picture that there's not one. There's multiple, like it's a division of Grim Reapers, right? And I don't like the idea of a Grim Reaper. I like the idea of like an escort. They send someone to come get you.
Right.
And it's almost like they're just doing their job too. Like y'all are both doing your own job. They're just doing it on a different plane. They can't work on your plane. They can't treat them with medicine. So when they go to pass, they're there to be a pathfinder or the leader. They take you and be like, I'm going to show you the way. And then they come and get you. Mm-hmm. At least that's what it feels like.
Yeah. You know, you're right. Yeah.
It's wild, wild stuff. I love the stories of the nursing homes. I've got more. I've got books on it now. I've got a bunch of stuff to talk about creepy healthcare things, so we're going to dig more into that later on. So let's take a quick break, and when we jump back, we'll knock this baby out. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
To have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
All right, all right, all right. Here we go. Hope y'all enjoyed it.
Yeah, dude, I love stories like that.
You know what? Like we've talked about, why is it with the, like we've discussed, pilots, military, first responders, it always feels like it's more
credible.
Yeah, more credible. And then when you get into it with these, all of these healthcare professionals, it's something like that because it's got to go against everything that they know. They know how the human body operates, but there's that 1% that they don't know. You know, I remember there's always been these studies of people trying to weigh people at death, and they say you can weigh your soul's weight when your soul leaves. And they have all of these things. That's great, but we still don't know.
There was guys that were actually photographers would try to
capture it.
Capture as somebody was passing. Yeah, they would do that quite a bit.
And
hoping to catch something.
And maybe they've got some wild photos, but even at the end, if you got that, it still doesn't answer anything.
You hear a lot of people, too, on their deathbed, like staring up at the ceiling, and they're like, hey, I see my brother.
Yeah.
You know, it's always, or you hear the stories of people with near-death experience saying that they were floating above their body.
Yeah.
Like they're up in the corner.
My sister-in-law.
And then there's people, before you get started, there's a lot of people that say that that's not true. Like, you know, that's impossible. No one ever dies and comes back. But I don't know, because some of the stories I've heard are pretty intriguing.
Oh, whenever you hear about, like, on the operating table when they die. I 100% believe that's real, because those people will come back and report who was in the room, and those people weren't in the room when they were brought in. They were put to sleep, had no idea those people were in the room, went through all this, woke back up and never saw them, and they can start going, that nurse was in there. Like, well, you've never met her. Yeah, but she was in there because
right.
I was floating above whenever I saw that nurse.
Yeah.
And you're like, there's no way you would know unless you saw it.
Yeah, I definitely.
My sister-in-law told me a story. And this is my brother-in-law's wife. So my sister-in-law told me a story about her grandmother, whom I did not know, that when she passed away, that they were all in the hospital room and she was looking out the window and she said, you know what? We really could use some rain. We really need the rain on our place. We really need the rain. She goes, when I get up to heaven, I'm going to tell Jesus that we need some rain. That's what this whole woman had said. She passed away, they said, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours later.
Let me guess.
Within 10 minutes. They said within 10 minutes I heard. Now, I don't know what the odds of the rain were that day.
Sure.
I have no idea. But within 10 minutes, it starts raining. So let's just say whether or not what you believe, what would you chalk that up to? Like if it was sunny outside and then all of a sudden this just, your grandmother dies after saying that. And within 10 minutes, this dark rain cloud rolls in and you start getting rain.
I mean, I'm sure it could be chalked up to coincidence.
It's got to be. Yeah.
But it's awfully odd, too, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right? very strange.
I used to work for an old lady, and she used to tell me if you see a turtle crossing the road, I don't remember where that went, north to south, that means it's going to rain, not today, but the day after. And if you see a turtle crossing the road from like south going north, it's not going to rain the day after tomorrow, but the day after that. And it was just like some crazy tale. And like every time it rains or I see a turtle, even now, I'm 43, I'll see it's not turtles, they're tortoises.
Yeah.
See them crossing the road, I instantly always think of that. Instantly. And sometimes it does rain exactly like she said, and sometimes it doesn't. But every time, it's weird how little things stick with you.
Yes.
Because that little saying, literally every time I see a tortoise crossing the street, I think of that woman.
He's bragging, folks, about being 43 because he's got like 6 more days of being 43 or some crap like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking like, dude, I am going to be 60 years old in 16 years. And that sounds really far away, but that's right. Not.
It's not.
It's not. And then when you're a kid, they always say, oh, as you're older you get, it goes by quicker. You're like, that's impossible.
No, it is.
Do you remember when you got out for summer break? It seemed like summer was long.
Like a year. It seemed like I was out for a year. But when you've got kids, they're like, I feel like I'm out 3 weeks, and then they go back to school.
Yeah, well, the boys' school here at Weatherford, they're giving us the choice. They can either go back to school, or you can stay at home and do it. And so we're choosing to send our kids to school.
They've been home
for too long.
They want to go.
They want to go.
I don't really know that. Yeah, it's those boys. They want to go.
They're very social, and, you know, sitting at home all the time sounds like fun.
I wouldn't want to hang out with you either.
Yeah, luckily, I'm gone most of the day. Out doing my real
job. They're tired of your wife.
Yes, they
are. They're tired of mom coming down.
Well, mom's way harder on them than me. I mean, you can ask every one of them privately, would you rather stay home with dad or mom? They'll say dad every time.
Every time.
Because I don't care. They're like, hey, dad, can I have chips? Yeah.
Anytime. Go for it.
Can I have another Dr. Pepper? Yeah.
She hates you.
Can we stay up and play Fortnite on that? Yeah, go for it. I mean, like, as long as you're not causing any real trouble.
As long as you're not hurting anybody, setting things on fire, are the main thing, bothering dad, you can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Yeah, just don't bother me.
Not mom. Mom rules with an iron fist.
Yeah, and then she gets on me because she'll be like, well, I need somebody to help me with this. I'm like, well, you are the one that, you know, you're the one that started the rule. Why do I got to back it? I didn't get a choice.
I'm not going to do that. Yeah, the boy is going to beat you to death one day. I'm not doing that.
And she hates it because she knows that they don't like her, but they like me. She knows it. I guess it's like that.
They love mom, but they're just like,
oh, sure they do.
They're like, mom's no fun.
Oh, yeah, sure. Like when mom is sick, I mean, the boys are very attentive. Like when I'm sick, nobody really cares.
You know what? The only time I've ever seen those boys worried about you was when you was in the hospital.
Yeah, I think because they knew that was serious.
That was it. Outside of that, I've never seen them. They're like, eh, dad's fine. Like they don't care. And I told you that.
Yeah.
I told you that when those boys were little. I go, they're going to get to the point they don't even care about you. You're a paycheck.
Yep. Hand it over.
That's all it is. Folks, I really hope you enjoyed this. Really do. I enjoy talking to y'all. We enjoy doing this.
Yes.
And I really hope you enjoyed it. We've got some interesting stuff. I think I'm going to get a few interviews coming up. Hopefully next week I've got one. I've got a few interesting people to talk to coming up.
Dude, let's
do it. We'll get to do some more cool stuff like that. Yeah. We've got some more wild stories.
If you got any stories you'd like to share with me and Cam, please send them to us. You can email the show at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can follow the show on all forms of social media. Be safe out there. Till next time, folks.
Write reviews. For some reason, any place that, especially with Apple, it's always about the reviews. Like you have to, the algorithms for some reason, if it's not like fresh reviews, it just hides us. So if you could do us a solid, wherever you're listening at, if you can go in anywhere and write reviews, but if you can go to Apple especially and write reviews for the show, and it doesn't, like I said, I love it when you guys do this, when all y'all do this, when I say, hey, just write something about what you had for dinner. It's the greatest thing is it'll be like, 5-star review. And what do you think about the show? Turkey sandwich. It is the funniest thing ever. So like, if y'all want to do it again, go in there, leave us a 5-star review, like leave us a 5-star rating and write out your favorite alcoholic drink. And if you're not old enough to drink alcoholic, your favorite flavor of milkshake. And we'll go back and look at some of those.
You ever had a Dr. Pepper milkshake from Whataburger?
Yes, I have. Is the Pope Catholic?
Yes, I have. They're pretty good. All right,
now folks, that you said it, I may need to go get one when we get off of this.
That's a good idea. All right, folks, stay out of trouble. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.